Good evening, everybody.
Amen.
Are you all well?
Amen.
Are you blessed?
Amen.
Did you enjoy the worship?
Yes.
So let's give the Lord a decent hand. It's wonderful to see so many of you here tonight. It's really a pleasant surprise and a blessing. Who of you are here for the very first time? Let me just raise your hands. Let me just see. Oh, that's quite a few of you. Yeah, welcome. Welcome. All right, I'm sure most of you are aware that at the moment we are busy. Mark, just check the volume there. But at the moment we're busy with a series on music, but specifically Satan's influence through music. Now, let's just take music and put it outside for a while. Just go with me now. How many of you have by now figured out that the devil is real? Just wave at me. Obviously, if you're not waving your hand right now, then you've been off this planet for the last 20, 30 years. Is that right? So you figured out by now that the devil is real. We understand that he's not some mythical figure that the Bible just refers to. It is a person. When Jesus dealt with somebody in the desert, he was dealing with a person. There was somebody that did not want Jesus' life to go in the direction that God had destined his life to go. And I want to make you think. When was the first time that Satan appeared on the horizon in Jesus' life? Was it when he messed up? Did Jesus ever mess up? No. Satan appeared for the very first time in the life of Jesus Christ the moment that the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now think about this. We often feel, or this is the way the world will probably look at things, the devil will only be a factor in your life, the devil will only mess with you, the devil will only steal from you if you mess with his things. Well, friends, we all know that Jesus was a man just like you, just like I, but the Bible says, yet without sin. And it's interesting to note that Satan never appeared in his life until that one special day that the Father poured out his anointing, his power, and his spirit upon Jesus, his son. And the moment the anointing was upon Jesus' life, Satan surfaced and he started his evil in trying to derail Jesus from reaching his destiny. Now, how often do you not hear people in the church say, man, I don't know what's going on here because, you know what, when I used to serve the world and when I used to go and hang around in the clubs and in the pubs and in the strip clubs and all of those things, I never had problems. But now that I've chosen to serve God, it's like I've got problems, problems, problems everywhere. Well, my friend, it was no different in Jesus' life. Satan came for a specific reason when the Holy Spirit's power was poured out on Jesus. Can I tell you why Satan only appeared when the Holy Spirit's power came upon Jesus? Because that was the moment that Jesus became a threat to Satan. Amen. The devil, his power is limited. God's power is limitless. Satan doesn't have time to waste demons, evil spirits, spells, curses, and rubbish on somebody that is not effective for the kingdom of God. So I want you to start looking at your problems in a whole different perspective and in a whole new way. If you are sitting here tonight and you can raise your hands and say, you know what, Rion, there's just drama, drama, drama in my life, then I'm saying to you, you must be doing something right somewhere. Yeah. That he is taking note of you. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean for one second that you should allow him to get away with murder. Mm-hmm. We are not weaklings, we are children of the Most High God. When we speak, our words are backed with the power of the kingdom of God. Satan will only start messing with you if he has identified something in your life that made him think this person is going to start fulfilling their destiny. This person is starting to come on the right track. The word of God says there is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. In other words, the person that is living the life that they think is right will ultimately end up either physically dead or spiritually dead. But what is the opposite of death?
Life.
So if you choose to walk not the road that seems right unto you, but you begin to listen to God, you begin to honor His word, you begin to choose to live your life according to God's will and plan for your life, then no longer will death be your portion, but life will be your portion. How did Jesus put it? Come to me, all you who are thirsty. Is there anybody in this church that is thirsty tonight? Anybody? There's not a lot of you that are thirsty. Is it because it's winter or what? Jesus said, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. And if you drink from the cup that he gives, you will never thirst again. Referring to the living water of the Holy Spirit that will start flowing from you and from me. And you know what the wonderful thing is about the living water? Let's take the living water out and let's just go quickly to natural water. There are times in your life when a thirst will suddenly come upon you. And it's the kind of thirst where you can drink a liter of Coke and it'll probably do nothing. You can drink ginger ale and it'll probably do nothing. You can down three or four beers and it'll do nothing, because the only thing that'll take away that thirst is good, clean, refreshing water. Now, do you know what? That's the problem with this world. They are thirsty. And they are running around from club to club, from pub to pub, from joint to joint, trying to find something that will quench their thirst. And because they don't find it here or there or anywhere, they keep running, keep running, keep running, and they are looking for some area, some avenue, something that will quench this thirst that they have inside of them. Now, how about you walk into that building? You walk into that person's life, and the living water of God is flowing through you as Jesus said it should. And as you are in conversation with them, and as you grow in your relationship with them, that living water begins to flow into their lives. And for the first time, they realize what they are truly searching for. They are searching for God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be awesome? Now you see, that's what the devil's afraid of. That's what he's upset about. The fact that you are sorting out your life, fixing your relationship with God, and more of the living water of God is beginning to flow through you. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. The devil would like to make us think that things are not going to change. He would like to make us think that, you know what, your dad used to suckle and your mom used to suckle and your opa used to suckle. Everybody in your family has always been battling. You know, there never seems to be breakthroughs. And you're just one of them. You're one of those people that you were destined to have problems. Maybe you don't have financial problems, but you tend to be negative and you tend to be despondent and you tend to feel dejected. And maybe depression is hanging over you like this dark cloud. And the devil says to you, you know what, you must just make peace with that because that's just the way that you are. Then I want to say to you, that's not the way that you are. I beg to differ. And you should beg to differ as well, because the Bible says clearly Satan is a liar and he is the father of lies. He cannot speak the truth, for there is no truth in him. Now, whatever he's telling you right now, the opposite is probably true. If he's trying so hard to convince you to stop fighting, then he must have seen something inside your life that is worth fighting for. Yes, my friend, God has a good plan for you and for me. God has a good purpose for you and for me. And sometimes it's going to take a little bit of perseverance. Sometimes it's going to take a little bit of fighting to get to the place where we begin to live that destiny. We begin to experience God's purpose and plan. But surely that is worth fighting for. Amen? Surely that is worth fighting for. Now, I say to you that the devil started working in the life of Christ when the Holy Spirit came upon him, because he was afraid. He was afraid of what Jesus would accomplish. He'd heard the prophecies. He knew what was prophesied about the Messiah, the Son of God. And so Satan might not know exactly what's going on in your life, but he also knows the scriptures. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. Satan doesn't want you to live God's future. He would love for you to live his future. And if God has a good future, then he's got a dismal future. Now, he's got certain tools along the way that will help him to get you to the place that you live his future for your life. He's got these things that he can use to work against us. Now, one of those things is music. And we need to start understanding that all music is not evil, all music is not bad, because music was created by God, given by God, for God. Music is one of the best mediums through which you can truly worship, praise, and glorify the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. There are some of you sitting here tonight. You find it difficult to speak to God and tell Him how you feel. But when you put Hillsongs on, or you put Michael W. Smith on, or somebody like that, somebody that is into praise and worship, then from your heart, you can lift up your hands and you can bring before God the way that you feel about Him. So music is a very powerful medium through which we can reach God, touch God's heart. Music is a spiritual thing, and Satan knows it. And that is why he tries to use music to bring about destruction. We are praying for revival. How many of you know that we need revival in this country? We don't just need revival in this country, we need revival all over this world. Things cannot continue the way that they are right now, because things are very dismal. And you see, the thing is, the politicians do not have the answer, my friend. I'm sorry, but they don't. Because most of them don't even know God. So putting your faith in them is only going to get your fingers burnt somewhere down the line. The only one that can turn around the situation that we are sitting in right now is God. Does He want to turn around this situation? Yes, my friend, I know that the world is going to come to an end someday, but not today. There's still a lot that needs to be done. The Word of God also says that the kingdom of God will come when the gospel of the kingdom has been preached unto the ends of the earth. There are still many, many people out there that have not heard the gospel. They don't know the Lord of glory. They still need to hear. There are a lot of things that still need to fall into place before the time comes that the world will end. I can't tell you when it is. And Jesus said He doesn't know when it is, so stop worrying about when it'll end. But start thinking, what can we do to change the situation that we have right now? Well, there is one thing that we can do. We can get God involved in the situation. You see, one of the reasons why we are battling, why the world is falling apart and things are really dismal, is because man has forgotten about God. It's difficult to need God when there is a pillicky that you can pop for every problem. Where there's some oak that's going to mess with your head and tell you 110 different reasons why you are the way that you are. When in fact only God has the answer to why you are the way that you are, feel the way that you feel, and God can do something about your circumstances and your situation. But we fall back on worldly things. We put our faith in the God of this world, and then we wonder why God is no longer really a factor in our lives. The Word of God says, if my people who are called according to my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven. And I will heal their land. The one thing that God wants to see in your life and in my life is a humble attitude where we come and we say, once again, Lord, You first. I come from an Afrikaans background. I can't speak on behalf of your Engelsmanne. I can't speak on behalf of the Portuguese people. But I can speak on behalf of the Afrikaans people, and you must judge what I say, whether it is correct or not. But Afrikaans people are extremely proud. They don't want to talk about their religion. If you want to really upset them, you must talk to them about their faith. Because according to them, it is an extremely private thing. There's nothing private about what you believe. You should be announcing it from the rooftops. But now we sit with this attitude of pride. There are many Afrikaans fathers that will not pray in front of their children. There are many Afrikaans fathers that don't want to show emotion in front of their children, in front of their wives. We always have to look like we're in control. We always have to look like, ek is die boss, ek is okay, ek is reg. Cowboys don't cry in elke ding. But we've got this attitude of pride. God can't hear where pride is involved. God says, humble yourself before me and I will lift you up. It's a humbling thing, a very humbling thing, for a man that has never openly in front of his children said, we've got problems in our family, come let's pray, to go before his family and say, listen, yeah, we've got problems and only God can sort it out, come let's pray. And you see, that's what's needed. When we show God that our attitude is changing, then God is going to change our country. God is going to change our marriages. There are many people, their marriages are falling apart. And the husband and the wife, they don't talk together. They don't sleep together. In fact, they avoid one another. But don't try and talk to them about their problems, because they're fine. You see, we would rather live in this dismal relationship than acknowledge that we've got problems. Because the outside world must perceive us as being perfect. And that is the humbling thing, to show people your weakness. Is it wrong to have weakness? How can it be wrong to have weakness? The Word of God says, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Of course I've got weakness. Of course you've got weakness. And it's only an attitude of stupidity that says, I don't have. I'm perfect. No, don't talk to me about my marriage is perfect. Regardless of the fact that you and your wife haven't communicated properly in the last 6 months. Maybe if you get down on your knees and you confess to God that there's problems, confess to your wife that there's problems, God in a couple of minutes, in a couple of hours can sort it out for you. Anyway, I got sidetracked. Maybe somebody needed to hear that. But I'm actually speaking about music, and I'm going to get back to that now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 16 says the following. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk amongst them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from amongst them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons, and you will be my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Now, we ended off with that scripture last week. I want to start with that scripture this week, and I want to say to you that the Bible makes something very, very plain. If you want God to receive you, if you want God to work in your life, then you have to honor God's command when He says, come out from amongst them, my people. Yeah, but Rian, how on earth are we going to do that? We live in this world. We live in this sinful world. It is all around us. Yes, it is all around you, but you don't have to partake in the rubbish that they get up to. You see, my friend, if the world out there looks at your life and they cannot see a difference in your life and in the way that you live your life from the way that they live, then you've got a problem. Then you clearly don't understand how things work in the kingdom of God. God has no problem with the fact that we live amongst them. Of course we have to live amongst them. That is how we are going to cause our light to shine in the darkness. But I mustn't allow them to bring all of their rubbish into my life and let the light in my life start dwindling, dwindling, fading, fading, and ultimately disappearing. I have to make a difference. I have to begin to stand for what is right. You know, there is an old proverb that says, he that doesn't stand for something will fall for everything. And that's one of the reasons why so many Christian men and women keep on falling all the time. You cannot, my friend, be an undercover Christian. People better know what you stand for. People must know. And when God begins to see that attitude in your life, when God begins to see the fruit of His Spirit manifest in your life, then you better believe that God will bless you. Listen to what He says. I'm going to repeat it. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Who of you have sons and daughters? Just quickly raise your hands. All right, who have I never picked on in this meeting? Sir, what is your name?
Johan.
How many sons, daughters?
Two sons and one daughter.
Two sons, you're a good candidate. Johan, you've got two sons and one daughter. You are a father, is that right? Good. Now, quickly listen to this. This is Johan's take on fathership. Johan, if one of your children are in trouble, what are you going to do? You will do whatever you can to help them. If you can provide for them, will you?
Yes.
If you can take some of the strain off of them, will you?
Yes.
If you can bless them, whether they need it or not, will you?
Yes.
Now, God says If you meet with his conditions, he will be a father to you. Now, if Johan and myself and Oprozi and Mark, being fathers, are willing to do whatever it takes to help our children, to bless them, to equip them, to bless them, how much more will my Father in heaven do for you and I if he is a perfect father where I am not? Now, that's where we want to be. We want to be children of the Most High God. But there is a prerequisite to becoming a child of God. There is a condition. Come out from amongst them, my people. In other words, if the world does it this way, you better start doing it that way. If the world says this is acceptable, then you start saying, but that is unacceptable. And then you must be willing to take the flak when they say, ah, you know what, you're just a religious bigot and you're just one of those Bible bashers and what. And you don't have to defend yourself, God will defend you. I think I've shared you many times that when I made a commitment to serve the Lord, I realized very quickly that I can't make half a commitment to serve the Lord. I'll have to make a full commitment. Now that meant that where I used to go to clubs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, where I used to be drunk Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, and sometimes at the job, that would have to change. I think my boss was happier than anybody else that I changed. But then the Lord also changed my life. And I had to say to all of my friends, you know what? I'm sorry, I can't go to these places anymore. I can't do these things anymore. And unfortunately, they all left me. Because I was an Afrikaans sales acquister. I don't know how to say that in English. I was, how would I say that in English? I was too much. But can I tell you the good news? Most of those friends that way back when used to laugh at me and call me too much, one by one came back into my life and said, my life is falling apart. What can I do? Please pray for me. Please help me. And you know why they came back? Because they saw the fruit of God's work in my life. Because they can argue with many things, but you can't argue with fruit. If I tell you it's an apple tree and you pick that apple and you bite into it, you know that it's an apple. And that's what they saw. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Because the same thing is applicable when it comes to music. I said to you that not all music is evil, because music was created by God. But unfortunately, Lucifer is extremely good with music. He was created specifically to make music. There is nothing that you can teach him, nothing that you can tell him, nothing that you know that he doesn't know about music. And therefore he knows how to give good music to certain groups and certain bands. And that music is programmed in such a way that it'll cause people to fall away from God. It'll cause people to start feeling things and experiencing things that will glorify him. We spoke about backmasking or hidden subliminal messages in music. I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to spend 5 minutes just refreshing your memory, and for those that have not been here. We all know that in the music industry there is such a thing as backmasking. What it basically means is that if you take certain songs and you play them backwards, they will actually have a meaning. There will be a message that can only be discerned or heard or understood when it is played backwards. Of course, you will jump up and say, but Rion, you know what, that's rubbish, because when I listen to the song, I don't hear what happens backwards, I only hear what happens forwards. And I'm going to say to you that, yes, you are right. But I'm going to counter and say to you that the message was not put there for you. The message was put there for the spirit world. Because the spirit world is not limited to a brain to function. The spirit world has spiritual intelligence. Now what I mean by that simply is that in the spirit world, what we can't hear, they can hear. What makes no sense to us makes sense there. Now if there is a satanic message in a song and that song is being played, then that satanic message goes into the spiritual atmosphere. Will evil spirits respond to it instantly? Will they come? Yes, because they are being called by that which is summoned through the music. Aleister Crowley was probably the man that initiated backwards thinking, backwards talking, backwards music. Aleister Crowley was a man that died around the middle of the previous century. One day an evil spirit appeared to him in the desert. The evil spirit told him that his name is Ra and he is the god of war. He told him that he should go and sit at the table and meditate, and the next day the spirit would come to him and give him instructions. He went and he sat at a table with a pen and a paper, as the evil spirit told him, and the evil spirit took control of him, took possession of him, and he began to write automatically. He wrote out a whole book. It took him 3 days, full days. He just sat there in a trance-like state, and he wrote, and he wrote, and he wrote. When he came out of the trance, and he read all of these things, the Spirit had given him certain commands. Number one, you are the Antichrist. You are the 666. Your calling is to destroy Christianity. Number two, you are going to start a new religion. You are going to teach people to do everything backwards. People need to start walking backwards. They need to start speaking backwards. They must write backwards. When they listen to music, all the music must be done backwards. Number three, you need to use as much drugs as possible, because it makes it easier for evil spirits to communicate with people while they are on drugs. It makes them a lot more sensitive to the spiritual realm. Number four, you need to propagate as much evil as possible. The creed that you will live your life by will be the following: do as you will, and let nobody judge you. Actually, let no God judge you, and that will be the whole of the law. Aleister Crowley was known as the most wicked man in the world. He sacrificed babies, he committed murders, and he did horrible and despicable things. Aleister Crowley taught his followers that all music should be played backwards. Modern day Satanism evolved out of Crowleyism. When you deal with modern day Satanists, when a young person gets involved in Satanism, one of the first signs is they start writing things backwards. You will see things like N-A-T-A-S, which is just Satan backwards, on their pencil case or on their suitcase or in letters that they write, and they will start writing the Lord's Prayer backwards. Part of an incantation to summon evil spirits to give them more power. These things are real. They will start speaking backwards, and they will start doing a lot of things backwards. Why? Because Aleister Crowley was told that that is the way to gain power in the spiritual realm. And the whole purpose of Satanism is to get more and more and more power. Now, enter music. Aleister Crowley influenced many, 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 and I don't have time to go into that, but many of today's popular artists were directly influenced by him. Some of them were his disciples. Many of them are his followers. And now, I'm going to go back to two of the songs that we have looked at already, and then I'm going to show you three other songs. Eddie, would you do the first one for me quickly, please? Again, this is the band by the name of Led Zeppelin. They are known to be one of the most popular bands of all time. Their song is known to be the most popular rock song in modern rock history. I can't remember the exact amount, but I think, if I remember correctly, it is still played something like 4,600 times per year by the top 60 radio stations in the States, which translates to more than 2.5 times per day. Does that give you an idea of how popular the song is? Play that first part for us quickly. If there's a bustle in your bedroom, don't be alone there. It's just a sprinkling for the fake queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, that was fairly clear, and I think most of you recognize that song. Now, that song has a hidden message. This band were great followers of Aleister Crowley. Their guitarist is actually a, well, I suppose you could call him a witch. He has one of the largest occultic bookshops in the United Kingdom, and he bought the house that Aleister Crowley stayed in and in which he performed most of his satanic things. The song Stairway to Heaven was given to them by automatic writing. They were sitting at the fire, meditating on they had the music and they were listening for, they were trying to get the words. And suddenly, I think it was John Page, his hand began to just write automatically. And this song appeared. The song was given to them by a spirit, by a demon. Now we're going to play it backwards. Eddie, just put it a little bit louder for me. Or I'll do it from here. No, wrong one. All right. Could you at least follow some of it? I know that some of it is not very clear, especially if you're at the back. I'm going to let him play it one more time. You've now heard it once. There are the words. See if you can follow. Alright, I think by now you can probably get the gist of it. Now, it is very clear that there is a satanic message. It is almost like a satanic sermon that is being preached, albeit in the reverse, every time that this song is being played. Where did that message come from? Well, if you really want to know, you need to ask the spirit that took control of Jimmy Page when he wrote the song. What is his purpose with it? I can't tell you exactly, but I know that Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so therefore I know that every time this message is preached over those that listen to the song, it is trying to gain an influence over their lives. The next one that we are going to look at is Britney Spears. You all know her, and you know the song one more time. Play that for us quickly. Alright, very popular song. And the one thing about Britney Spears is she really knows how to get a hook, which is like that refrain that gets you to come back and listen to the music again. Her music is very lively and generally fairly pleasant to the ear. But there's nothing pleasant about the message when you turn it around. Play that for us quickly. Play it for me one more time, please. All right. Now, I know that there are a lot of old people that listen to Britney Spears as well. But I would have to say that probably if you look at the audience that listens to her, they are generally younger. Teenagers. Who of you sitting here have teenage daughters? Now, listen to the message that song is putting out over your child. Sleep with me. I'm not too young. Daddy, how does that make you feel? If that doesn't make you feel upset, you better come and see me for prayer. Because there's just something really wrong about that whole statement. So what is working with that song? A spirit of lust. When that song is playing, a spirit of lust is being summoned, and that thing begins to work on the young people that listen to it. And you know what? Maybe if that song wasn't playing, the young man or the young woman could have said no. But if they've sat and listened to that for a while, it's breaking down their defenses, and more in their mind they're thinking, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's okay. It's normal. Unfortunately, it's not. It destroys people's lives. Now we're going to get into what is really satanic backmasking. There is one that I'm not going to play for you because there's too many swear words in the backmasking. So I'm just going to show you on the screen what it says. If you want to later, I can play it to you on the laptop when everybody is gone. Let's do the first one quickly. Let's go to the first band. This is a band by the name of Thy Infernal. Let me quickly just find them in my notes. I don't think you need a degree in theology to figure out that there's something wrong with that oak. Is that right? Okay. I also want to say that if you've got very young kids here, you might want to ask them not to look at these images, because the bands that I'm going to show you are quite evil, all right? And they could cause fear. So please, if your child might be afraid, let them rather not look right now. Okay, let's quickly see. Thy Infernal, where are they? Yeah, they are. The lyrics of this band are generally centered around Satanism. They sing songs about war, and they sing songs specifically about killing Christians and destroying Christianity. Just like Marilyn Manson, they use the youth, and they lure the youth into their nets through their shocking behavior, and then they preach their satanic message to them. And you see, the thing is, a lot of young people, because this message is brought through music, they are not really afraid. You take a young person that will never go to a satanic church and listen to a satanic message, but you give it to him in musical form, and suddenly he listens. It's weird how that works, but it's a lot more acceptable when Satan brings us this heavy-duty bad stuff in a nice package. And he is called Lucifer, the one who deceives. So he does deceive. Now, this song of theirs is called Armageddon. I'm actually not going to play the song for you because it will make some of you sick. I'm going to play you the intro in reverse. Just play that for us. All right, as I said to you, this is not popular culture. This is fairly specialized satanic music. But unfortunately, even though it is fairly specialized satanic music, a lot of mainstream young people still listen to it. And it is fairly clear what message they are preaching through their music. The next band that we are going to look at is called Cradle of Filth. All right, that is them. As I said, if you've got young kids, don't let them watch that, please. They might get stressed. Now, Cradle of Filth was originally formed in 1991 in Suffolk, England. Dan Filth is the lead singer, and he also founded the band. To know a little bit more about the man, now Dan Filth is the one sitting there at the bottom with his fingers in his mouth. That should tell you something. And on the right-hand side, he's the one giving the devil salute and looking a little bit like he's not there. Now, he wrote a book entitled The Gospel of Filth, which, in his own words, he describes simply as an occult study. So we know that he is deeply steeped in the occult, he is steeped in Satanism, in all of that type of rubbish. Now, even though it has often been said that he is involved in Satanism and he is a Satanist, he prefers to see himself as a Luciferian, in his own words. I don't know really what the huge difference is, but apparently, according to him, the one is better than the other. The band was also, this is interesting, this band, Cradle of Filth, actually has what they call a full-time satanic advisor that travels with them to all of their shows, named Sarah Jezebel Diva. All right? In other words, what she does is she makes sure that they come across as satanic as possible wherever they play. Shockingly, this band is seen by many to be the biggest metal band to come out of Britain since Iron Maiden. And we have spoken about Iron Maiden. That's nothing to be proud of. Now, they play a song entitled Dinner at Deviant's Place that hides a blatantly satanic ritual. I'm going to play you the first part of Dinner at Deviant's Place. That is the album cover that the song comes from.
Thank you.
I'm sure that none of that made any sense to you. It's not supposed to make sense forward. It'll only make sense when you play it backward. It is proper backmasking. There is a message that has been recorded that is superimposed on the music, and when you turn it around, you can clearly hear what is going on. Now, because it's got this funny techno effect, chances are that most of the young people that listen to this band will never realize that there is something going on behind the scenes. I'm going to turn it around. Now, remember what I told you. As part of Satanism, in most satanic churches, when they open the church, just like we pray, they also do prayers, and they normally use the Lord's Prayer, but they say it backwards as a way of cursing Christ and cursing the kingdom of God and glorifying Satan. Now let's quickly see what they've done. This is the same song in reverse. Follow that. I know that the voice is quite eerie, but it is quite clear that what the message that is coming through is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, etc., etc. Now, that doesn't sound bad at all. But what you need to take into account is that this is being done backwards while you listen to the song. In the same way that in a satanic ritual, it will be done to summon evil spirits and curse the kingdom of God. So the point is, every time that this song is being played, every time that the listener sits in the area, the atmosphere where this is happening, a satanic ritual is taking place in their midst. Which is quite shocking. All right. The next band that I'm going to show you quickly, which is a blatantly satanic band. This is the band where I can't actually play you the song. You can see from their album cover that they are blatantly satanic. The upside down crosses, the pentagram in the middle, and blasphemously Jesus on the right hand side. Now, the band Choking Victim released a song entitled Hate Your State. And I'm not going to say much about them because there's not much to say. They're a bunch of devil worshippers. And this is the song played forward. Alright, now that in a way just sounds like a lot of other heavy metal bands where there's a lot of screaming and funny stuff going on, but I think you can clearly hear that there is a message being spoken in the beginning. Now, I'm not going to play you the message because the words are very clear. You can hear them clearly. Eddie, just show us the words there. All right. You think you are alive, you mother. Beep, beep. You are just the walking dead. You are a beep, beep sheep stepping on my back to stay alive. West Coast, East Coast, you are all just a bunch of fools. You and the rest of this greedy world, kill yourself. Stay in school, say no to drugs. Oh yes, hail Satan. Good night, boys and girls. Pleasant dreams. It is spoken in a very eerie voice when you play it backwards, and trust me, you can hear clearly every single word. So, let's move on. Now we come to one of the people that you've all been waiting for. She's called Lady Gaga, or as I like to refer to her, Lady Gaga. Yeah. I know that she's very, very popular right now. She's really made an impact on MTV and in the music scene. Now, we looked at a man by the name of Jay-Z a couple of weeks ago. Who of you can remember him? This is a man that has got his own clothing line, that there is occultic symbols all over the place. He's the one that wrote the song entitled Lucifer, that when you play the song Lucifer backwards, then it says, murder, 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 Jesus, 666. All right. Now, Lady Gaga, just like Jay-Z, has an enormous amount of symbolism going on in all of the songs and the stuff that she does. She is constantly seen to be hiding her one eye from the camera. If you look, you will see that in all of those shots, she's only showing us the one eye. You are welcome to go and do a search for Lady Gaga on the internet. Go onto Google, do a picture search, and I promise you that if you find one or two photos where you can see both her eyes, that's a lot. Because she's never photographed with two eyes. She's always showing us only the one. Now, why is that important? Because from an occultic point of view, in the occult and in witchcraft, the covering of the one eye has long been used in the occult orders. And once again, just like in the case of Jay-Z, the person that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, the occult eye represents the eye of Horus. In other words, every time that the one eye is hidden, it represents the affiliation of the person with Horus, the Egyptian god of war. Coincidentally, the same demon that appeared to Aleister Crowley and told him how to start modern-day Satanism. Now, I'm going to give you just a little bit of background on the eye of Horus. Horus, the son of Osiris and Isis, was called Horus, who rules with two eyes. His right eye was white and represented the sun. His left eye was black and represented the moon. According to myth, Horus lost his left eye to his brother Seth, who he fought to avenge Seth's murder of Osiris. Seth tore out Horus's eye, but he lost the fight. The eye was reassembled by magic through Thoth, the god of writing, moon, and magic. Horus presented his eye to Osiris, who experienced a rebirth in the underworld. Now, the Egyptians used the eye as a funeral amulet for protection against evil and for rebirth in the underworld. When it is worn as jewelry, the eye served to ensure safety, to protect, and to give the wearer prosperity. It was also called the all-seeing eye. Other attributes associated with it are terror and wrath. And this comes from the Harper's Encyclopedia of Mystical and Paranormal Experience. Now, go for me to the next one. There you can see more photographs of her, and you can see that all the time the one eye is either hidden or accentuated. Now, in the next picture, Lady Gaga is pictured with her left eye closed and her eyes drawn on her, Go to that next one. This is taken at one of her concerts that she had when she did a worldwide tour a couple of years ago. Now, I want you to take a look at that imagery behind her. Can you notice the eye? You notice the eye inside the triangle, which represents the eye of Horus, the all-seeing eye. And then you will notice the rays coming out of it. Now, I read to you now that Horus was known as he who rules with two eyes. His left eye represented the moon and his right eye represented the sun, with the rays of the sun coming out of it. Now, what she's doing is she's doing a performance under the banner of the eye of Horus. So in the next picture, go on to the next one. In the next picture, we see her pictured with her left eye closed once again, and an eye drawn on her left hand. Now I want you to take a look at her left hand. I know it's not very clear yet, because the resolution on this projector is not that good, but trust me, if you come and have a look later, you will see that there is clearly an eye drawn on her left hand. This is the symbol representing the hand of Fatima. No relation to you, auntie. All right. It represents the hand of Fatima, which is basically a type of a talisman to ward off the evil eye. You will also notice the similarity between her pose and the pose of Baphomet. If you take a look on the right, we see Baphomet, which is also a form of the horned god, which is also a form of the god Pan, which is known to be the god of music. All right? Now, in her right hand, in her left hand, is my time up? Okay, I've got 10 minutes. That's lots of time, lots of time. In her left hand, she's got this eye. The purpose of this eye is to ward off evil, but it is an occultic way to get rid of the evil eye. Now, the evil eye is when somebody is putting something on you so that you cannot be prosperous, so that you're not going to go forward with your life, etc., etc. And yes, it is used by the occult. She's clearly got it there. Now, look at the posture, and you will notice that there is a strong and striking resemblance. Look at the right finger. I heard you. Say again? Oh, was it by mistake? All right. Look at the fingers of her right hand, and look at the fingers of his left hand. And you will notice that they are in exactly the same order, or in the same gesture. All right. Where are we now? Go to the next one. Let me just see where we are now. All right, there we are. This is some more of Lady Gaga. Now, if you look at the left-hand side, I don't know, there's some horns coming out of her head there, and she's got like bat wings on. And then if you look at the right-hand side, you saw Baphomet. Baphomet has these very strong, elaborate horns coming out of his head, and she's sporting almost exactly the same horns that Baphomet is normally drawn with. And then we come to the last and probably the best one. You will notice there that Lady Gaga is sitting on a toilet playing the piano. And I always wonder whether there is something significant about that, whether it is a statement about the quality of her music. Anyway, maybe she's trying to tell us something. Yeah. Now, basically what I would like to say to you is that if you look at this and you look at the occult imagery that surrounds her in just about everything that she does, it is very clear. You don't even have to wonder whether this woman is involved in the occult. It is clear, it is plain, she is involved in the occult. All right? Now, it is also clear that she is trying to invoke certain spiritual blessings based on the hand of Fatima and the things that we've seen her do, which is basically demons, and she's trying to do this while she performs. Why would you think she would be doing a concert under the eye of Horus? Because she wants his blessing. Now, it's interesting to note that there is very few artists that have ever risen to popularity as fast as this one. Now, knowing what you know about Satan, that he can tour with music, no? He can do just about anything through music. And we notice that she seems to be invoking his power in a lot of the things that she does. It begs the question, the fact that she has suddenly and meteorically risen to fame, isn't there something supernatural helping her? Now I want to show you, I'm going to read you two examples that I found on the internet. And I'm going to just read them to you. The first one says this: the first time I watched the video, and I believe that this refers to the video of Bad Romance. The first time that I watched the video, I felt something was different. I couldn't put my finger on it, so I watched it again, and again, and again. When I still felt something, I googled Lady Gaga Bad Romance, and subliminal messages and a whole bunch of bad stuff came up. I had no idea how many other people felt the same way. I have never had a song affect me so much. I don't know what it is or how it is doing it, but Bad Romance has me hooked like no other song has ever done before. I am listening to it right now. I find myself bringing my iPod into work and wanting to listen to it in the bathroom. I feel like it is a sickness or something. I am a normal person, but this song is like a drug. The song is stuck in my head all day, and I sing it all day. The video plays over and over in my head all day. I don't know if she's involved in the Illuminati or not, but something has to be going on because this has never happened to me before. And since I am not the only one that this is happening to, I have read other websites too about the same song and the same issue. I don't feel like I'm going crazy alone because I am not the only one. I would love to hear more of this and more opinions on this. The author of this is Melissa B, and it was taken from the Nylon blog website. The second example. Okay, I consider myself to be a very big fan of music in general. I have a pretty vast knowledge of music, and I have heard a lot of different artists, genres, etc. I'm just going to put this one out there. This is the most infectious song that I have ever heard. It is almost eerie the way that that hook and that chorus just sucks you in. It is just plain weird. I wouldn't be too surprised if all of this gibberishery and the bits that she was going on, gaga, ooh la la, had some subliminal message in it. I don't mean like evil stab your mother. I don't mean like evil stab your mother once, but just like you will love this song, buy 100 copies of Fame Monster, that sort of thing. I do like the song, by the way. But like I said, there is something unsettling about how hypnotic it is. She's in my home country of New Zealand at the moment doing a couple of concerts. Honestly, I would enjoy going there, but it would be too embarrassing. I am 19 years old and I'm a guy, and it just wouldn't be all that cool for me to go to some pop diva's little lip-sync fest. A sprawling festival of estrogen and lip balm. Laugh out loud. Comes from the website Song Facts, written by Paul in Christchurch, New Zealand. Now, I have these two people here because I want to point out something to you. A lot of people are finding that her music will not get out of their minds. Now, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of you that sits here that thought to yourself, man, that's exactly the way I feel. It's funny how you can listen to one of her songs once, maybe twice, and it hooks you. And it's like you actually have to fight to push that song out of your mind. Now, if you think of all the hundreds of thousands of good songs out there that don't have such a powerful effect, you have to ask the question, why does her music specifically have such a powerful effect? Well, if you couple this to the fact that we have seen that she is obviously invoking spiritual powers while she performs and as she sings, then you've got to know that those spirits are working with her to suck people in to the stuff that she is propagating. All right. Now let's take a look at one of her songs and see what it does when we play it backwards. Would you go on to the next one? All right. Let me just read the words to you because it's a little bit dark. There is no other superstar you know that I'll be your papa, paparazzi. I promise I'll be kind. Okay, those are the words. Play the song for us. All right. That is the song going forward. Let's quickly see what the song says when you play it backwards. Alright, evil save us, the stars above, we model it on the arts of Lucifer. Play it for me one more time, please. Could you follow? If you want to know why she has such a powerful effect, it's not her alone. I don't doubt that she's got musical talent. I don't doubt that she writes very catchy songs, or whoever writes it for her, it's very catchy, the beat is very catchy. But it's not just the music, it's what's coming out with the music that is sucking people in. And you see, when you couple messages like that to the song, and the song is being played over and over and over by young boys and young girls, then you must understand something. The purpose of that rubbish on the song is to cause rebellion. It is to cause animosity. It is to cause bitterness. It is to cause, quite possibly, a longing to understand the occult world, or let's make it real world. Will this affect you if you're driving in your car and Radio Highveld or 702 or whoever plays that song? I can't prove to you that it'll immediately have an effect over you, no. But I'm going to say to you that there are people that are going to sit with that song and they are going to listen to it over and over and over again. Somebody that has bought her CD, or somebody that has recorded her video on their PVR, and they are going to watch the video and listen to it over and over again. Now, every time you listen to it, it'll have a bit more and a bit more and a bit more of an effect over you. And there's going to come a time when it has had so much effect on you that it's going to begin to change the way you think about certain things. Now, it is possible that before, when somebody interested you or tried to get you interested in going to a fortune teller or going to see a medium or a spiritist or just doing something stupid like having an affair, you would have said no. But the more you come under the influence of what is working through a song such as this, the more it breaks down your good godly thinking, because it is influencing you in the realm of evil. And you see, there's going to come a point where you're probably going to think to yourself, but what's the worst that can happen? Actually, you know what? It's not that bad. Maybe I should try it. And then again, we also understand that these things tend to hit us when we are down. If you have a good day and you listen to the song, it probably won't affect you. But how many of you know we don't always have good days? So you have a really bad day, and you listen to a song that has this kind of subliminal message with spirits working and all sorts of stuff. Let me tell you something, it will have an effect over your life. Now, they've been trying to get me to stop now for 10 minutes. I better listen. Did anybody learn something tonight? Well, good. Now you know why I call a lady Chacha. Okay. Guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to simply understand that music is not just music, is not just music. There are different types of music. There is uplifting music. There is music that will glorify God. And God isn't just glorified by worship music. When a musician comes and uses the gifting that God has given them to bless others, then God through it will also be blessed. But then there is also another type of music that is out there to trap you, that is out there to ensnare you. And I said to you last week that we might not necessarily always know, because not all songs have backward messages, etc., etc. But look at the fruit of the artist. Look at the fruit of the person's life. And that'll tell you a lot about the artist and about whether you truly want to be involved with somebody like that. I'm sure you will all agree with me that there is a lot of very good music out there, that you don't have to run after the bad stuff. You know, when there is an apple and it's got a bad spot on it, you don't have to throw away the whole apple because of one bad spot. Cut the bad spot out and eat the apple. Enjoy the apple. It's still going to bless you. Now, that's what you need to do with the music scene. Find the bad spots and push them out of your life. Because the devil came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if you allow him to, that's what he'll do to you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the time that we could spend and for the things that we could learn. Lord, your word says my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. I thank you, Lord, that you can give us knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and insight into how these things work. And I know, Lord, that if the people sitting here tonight will pray and ask you, you will quickly show them what are the things that they should rather not be involved with. What is the kind of music that they should rather turn their back on? Lord, we thank you for music. It is a wonderful thing. We thank you for the people that you have given giftings to and blessed with wonderful talent. But we ask you, Lord, protect us from that which is wrong. Protect us from that which Satan is using purely for evil to destroy people's lives. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.